today's daf in Megillah's daf Yud Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf Lupin Lazer Nishmas Lotz Lupin Zaltzman. The Gemara yesterday that we were discussing, we're still back on daf Yud. We're in Yud Amud Aleph. We are in the middle of a controversy in the Gemara about offering karbonos outside the base of Mikdash. They were offering in a base Chonya. At least that's what was testified by Rabbi Yitzchak. Base Chonya, as we learned yesterday, was some sort of replication of the temple that was built in Egypt. Was built by Chonya, which is why it's referred to as Beis Chonya. And he built it as he was disgraced and had to leave the Eretz Yisrael. He was the son of Shimon HaTzadik. So that puts him at the beginning, towards the beginning of Bais Sheni, the second temple. And he built the Beis HaMikdash in Mitzrayim. The Gemara Menachos, we went over this yesterday. The Gemara Menachos brought down the Machlokas, whether or not he built it L'Shem Shamayim or he built it L'Shem Avodah Zarah. Let's assume he built it L'Shem Shamayim. The Gemara says, good, let's make that assumption. Now, the idea of him building a Beis HaMikdash, a replication of the Beis HaMikdash in Mitzrayim during Bayis Sheni, so that's, in any event, it's pretty inexcusable. You're not allowed to offer a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. But now, after Chorban Bayis Sheni, after the destruction of the Second Temple, so now, what about offering at that point in time? So, Rabbi Yitzchak says, I heard, Rabbi Yitzchak meaning the Amora, so he says, I heard that they offered a karbon, they're offering karbonos in Beis Chonya nowadays. Okay, so it's after the destruction of the Second Temple. And basically, what this revolves around is a very basic issue, which the Gemara yesterday brought down as a machlokis, which we'll discuss more in just a moment, whether or not it's a machlokis. This revolves around the issue of whether or not Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, Kedushas Yerushalayim, whether it is permanent or temporary. If it is contingent on the Beis HaMikdash being there, so then, no, thank you. If it's permanent, so then that's it. You can't offer carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. If it's just temporary, so then as long as the Beis HaMikdash is there, you can't offer a carbon anywhere else. Once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, ostensibly you could offer a karbon after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so is the Kedusha permanent or temporary? So what do we see yesterday? A number of Mishnahs point in the direction of it's permanent. Notably, our Mishnah right here in Megillah. So if you look at the Mishnah back on Daf Tesamad Beis, it's the last Ein Bein Mishnah that we are learning together in the first parak. The Mishnah on the bottom of Tesamad Beis says, Ein Bein Shilu Yushalayim, El Shebishilu, Ochlin, Kashim, Kalim, Umayser, Shede, Bechol, Aro, Vishalayim, Lefnim, and Nechama, Vekam, Vekam, Kachi, Kashim, Nechama, Lefnim, and Nechlaim, Kedusha, Shilo. Here we go. It's the last line of Mishnah. Kedusha, Shilo, Yeshach, Re, Heter, after Shilo is destroyed. So then there's heter, meaning there's an allowance to offer karbanos outside of Shiloh, what's called heter bamos, but ukedushas Yerushalayim ain acharei heter. After Yerushalayim is destroyed, there's no heter after Yerushalayim, because the kedusha in Yerushalayim is a permanent kedusha, and therefore ain acharei heter, there's no allowance to offer karbanos anywhere outside of Yerushalayim, even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Good. That's our Mishnah. So, to the question of, is the Kedusha of Yerushalayim temporary or permanent? Our Mishnah's response is, permanent. Not only that, the Gemara quotes another Mishnah. We're in the middle of Yud Amud Aleph. Mishabal Yerushalayim Nesru Abamas V'lo Hayalem Od Heter V'yaisal Anachala. So the Gemara quotes another Mishnah in Zvachim that says same thing. That after Yerushalayim, that's it. The Kedusha in Yerushalayim is permanent, with or without the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore there would simply be no allowance to offer a karbon anywhere outside of Yerushalayim, even after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Okay, so where does that leave Rabbi Yitzchak? Really with no support. So this idea that they're offering karbonos in Egypt in this replicated temple called Beis Chonyo, and even if you want to say that it was built L'Shem Shamayim, but the question is, what justification do they have? And based on the Mishnah here in Megillah, based on the Mishnah in Zvachim, the answer would seem that they have no justification. The Gemara now continues. We're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. Tanaihi, we're in the middle of Yud Amud Aleph. The Gemara points out, this may be subject to a machlokas Tanaim. Because Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Shemati Kishayu Bona Mehechalos, Din Kulaim Lehechal, Uklaim Lazaram, Shemati, I heard, says Rabbi Eliezer, testifying about the building of the second base of Mikdash. presumably second base of Mikdash. So I heard that when they were building, they made kalayim for the heichal, they made curtains for the heichal and curtains for the azara. When building the heichal, they would build from the outside, meaning that when they were building the heichal, they did not want to stand in the area of the heichal. So what they did is they threw up curtains. Rashi over here describes basically on the interior wall where the walls of the heichal are going to be built, so that when building the heichal, they knew exactly where to stand. They wouldn't be standing inside the heichal. They would always be standing from the outside. They'd be building from the outside. And then uvazar bonim mibifnim. Now, as far as the temple courtyard is concerned, okay, so that on that, they built from the inside. But that is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. What's Rabbi Eliezer's position predicated on? That even without the Beis HaMikdash, the area has Kedusha. Okay, good. And the Amar Rabbi Yeshua Shemati Shemakriv Mafal Pishein Bias. Ochlin kachi kadashim afa pishein kalaim kashim kalam amaisa sheni afa pishein choma mimnesha kedusha rishon kitchel l'shaita the kitchel l'asid lavo. So, and Rabbi Yoshua's position is, I heard that they offer karbanos even though there's no bias, and kachi kachim even though there are no walls, and kachi kalam and maisa sheni are eaten even though there is no walls for Yerushalayim. Why? Because kedusha rishon is kitchel ashaita kitchel asilavo, because it's a permanent kedusha. Now mechlal derev lazus avelo kitchel asilavo. Now it sounds like, just in the contrasting positions in the brisa, that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing with one another. And so if that's true, now that's speculation, but if that's true, so at least now we have presented possibly a machlokus whether or not the kedusha of Yerushalayim is permanent or temporary. So I'm a Ravina Rav Ashimi my demo de Kulayam Kisha Vishana Kishala Shaita Vikishala Silava. So the Gemara says, no, just I you don't have to come arrive at that conclusion. It's speculation, and if anything, one can make a simple argument that they're not arguing. Rabbi Elaz and Rabbi Yoshua are both agreeing that the Kedusha of Shalim is a permanent Kedusha. Umar Majishmi Ale Kamar, Umar Majishmi Ale Kamar. And what they're doing is just simply reporting that which they heard. Meaning they're just simply going over what they were received as a tradition in terms of what happened when the second temple was being built. So then why do I need curtains? Why did they have to put up curtains while building the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says, modesty, privacy, meaning that's all. They're right, lahavdil, but when you go to construction sites, you see that they put partition around construction site, give it a little modicum of modesty, of privacy. They don't want to be bothered. We're talking now about the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that could be it. It could just simply be a function of modesty, having nothing to do with the need, the requirement to put walls up around in order to imbue it with Kedusha. So the Gemara says, okay, so that brisa does not indicate that there's a debate whether or not the Kedusha or Shlaim is permanent and temporary. So the Gemara says, Ella ki hani tanai detanya. So the Gemara says, fine, let's go to another brisa. In this brisa, Amar Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, Lama manu chachamim eselu, shekishalu b'nei agol amasu eselu v'kishum. They came up back up to Eretz Yisrael. This is the Gemara in Erechin, the end of Masecht Erechin, where the Gemara describes how when they came back up to conquer, no, they didn't conquer the land, but when they came back in with the permission of Koresh back into Eretz Yisrael, so they and eventually Dariavish allowed them to build the second base of Mikdash. But anyway, they counted the walled cities. What does that mean? They counted the walled cities. Amaka Sarva Kedusha Rishona Kishla Shaita Velo Kishla Asilavo. Meaning they reinvested Kedusha into the walled cities of Eretz Yisrael. Why do they have to reinvest it with Kedusha? Because all the Kedusha there is temporary, it's not permanent. So Verminu and the Gemara now points out we have a contradiction because there's another Braisa. Am Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. Now you'll note immediately that the second Braisa is authored by Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. The first brisa that we quoted was authored by Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. So it's going to be interesting, and the Gemara is going to point this out, that we are going to have two brisas conflicting with one another, both being authored by Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara will point that out afterwards. Am Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi b'chielu b'vad ha'yivol v'halo kvar nemar. Shishim ir kol chevel argo v'ksiv kol eila arim b'tziros choma gvoa. So there are 60 cities. They are fortified cities, meaning they are walled cities. So the Gemara says that when the Bnei Agola, when the Ezra and those who were exiled come back up to Eretz Yisrael, they sanctify them. So Kishum, so the Gemara says, what are you talking about? We're on the top of Yud Amud Beis, Hashta Ha'Armei Lo Tzrich L'Kedushei. What do you mean? They didn't need to sanctify them. Because once sanctified, they have a permanent Kedusha. Ela Matzu Aselu Uman No, they just counted the cities. V'lo Ela Bavad, Ela Kol Shetal Alecha Mesoros B'yadecha Me'avasecha. She'mekef Etzchama Mi'yemos Yeshua Benun, Kol HaMitzvot Halalu Nohagim Ba, Mimnei She'Kedusha Rishon, Kishla Shaita V'Kishla Asid Lavo. They were just simply identifying the cities. They were not reinvesting the cities with Kedusha. Because any city that we have a tradition where the walls were there from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, so that city will have the Kedusha of Ari Choma, of wall cities, and all the laws that are relevant to a wall city will apply to those cities, with or without our investment of Kedusha. Because it's a permanent Kedusha. Once Yeshua comes and conquers the land, those lands are invested with Kedusha. Parenthetically, what mitzvahs apply to walled cities? So Rashi over here points out, points to three halachas that apply to walled cities. Number one, if you have a mitzvah, you have to send them out of the walled city. It is not just Yerushalayim, but any mitzvah that lives within a walled city has to be sent outside the walled city. Number two, says Rashi, Kriyas Megillah, that if you live in a walled city going back to the time of Yeshua ben Nun, you read the Megillah not on the 14th, but on the 15th. And number three, says Rashi, is that when you buy a house in a walled city, so as long as you hold the house for over a year, you get to keep that house forever, and it does not go back to the original owner in Yovel. Three halachas that apply to a walled city. But anyway, the point of this braisa is that when they came back from Bavel, after 7 years of exile in Bavel, and they came back to the state to rebuild the second base of Mikdash and to re-inhabit Eretz Yisrael, they did not need to reinvest the Kedusha into these walled cities, and for that matter, Yerushalayim, and for that matter, the area of the base of Mikdash, because it was a permanent Kedusha, and the Kedusha never went away. So, this Brisa clearly is of the opinion that the Kedusha was a permanent Kedusha. Kashid Rabbi Shmuel, just give me one moment, let me just finish the Gemara's thread. Kashid Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbi Shmuel, so the Gemara says, okay, problem. The first Brisa that we quoted was Rabbi Shmuel. Second Brisa we quoted is Rabbi Shmuel, and they are conflicting. The first Brisa said there was a temporary Kedusha. Second Brisa says it was a permanent Kedusha. So the Gemara says, Trey Tanai, Aliba to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. So one answer is that, okay, we have two traditions within Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and yes, the two traditions are disagreeing with one another. V'ibayse mahav Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Amra, Detanya. Or maybe we'll have to edit. One of the braises, instead of being Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, will be Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara says, and we are somewhat justified in our editing, because we have another braise that says, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Asher Lo Chomam. Right, we saw this drasha already once before in the Megillah. The pasuk in the Torah that describes a walled city, Asher Lo Choma, the word Lo spelling Lamed Vav Aleph. Now, that makes a big difference whether it's a Vav or it's an Aleph. It actually has both, Lamed Vav Aleph, Afa Pisha Ein Lo Achshav, Ahayu Lo Kodem Lachain. Even if it doesn't have a wall now, but it had a wall, it will always have the Kedusha of a walled city. So you see that according to this Braisa, authored by Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi, the Kedusha is a permanent Kedusha, not a temporary Kedusha. Okay, then go.
When you say they invested Kedusha, was there a certain act or declaration that they did?
Yeah, the Gemara, I saw the question coming. The Gemara elsewhere describes a circling of the city, an offering of a carbon, but there was something done that actually.
An act and a declaration.
Yeah, right. They did something to invest it with Kedusha. Okay. Just quickly, although it's basic stuff and we've heard it before, but let's go over it just quickly now, and that is, where do we stand in terms of the halacha? The Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the Kedusha of Beit HaMikdash, is it still there to this very day? Okay, we are now close to 2,000 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, and so the question is, basically, it's what we've been discussing in the Gemara both yesterday and today, should have finished the discussion yesterday, and that is whether or not the Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash still has its Kedusha, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam has a very clear position on this matter. The Rambam writes, I'm in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, discussing the halachas of the Beis HaMikdash. I'm in the sixth parak of the Rambam, Halacha Yudalit. I'm going to be reading together with three halachas. Kol makom, this is the Rambam. Kol makom shel nasa b'chol elo k'seder hazeh in kadosh gamor v'zeh she'asa ezer shtei todos zikarnu she'asa lo b'masav nizkadosh ha'makom shelo yesham lo melech v'lo urim v'tumim. Okay, good. Ben, it's just so funny you brought that up. That's exactly where we're starting in the Rambam. The Rambam says, you know that Ezra did go through the procedure of sanctifying Yerushalayim, but the Rambam writes that was ceremonial. Ezra did not need to invest it with Kedusha because it was already there. When Shlomo invested Yerushalayim with Kedusha, he did so permanently. Meaning that's it. The Kedusha is there and it remains there. Lefichach, the Rambam continues to write. Get ready for an exciting Rambam. Lefichach makrivim karbanos kula mafa pishein sham bayis banui. You can offer karbanos even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Right? And again, reason why is because that's it. The Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash is invested with Kedusha. V'ochlin kachay kachim b'chol azara afa pishihi chareva. You can eat kachay kachim in the area of the azara even though there are no walls. V'ein amukefetz b'mechitza. V'ochlin kachim kalam ma'is v'sheni b'chol Yerushalayim afa pishihi sham chamos. And you can eat kachim kalim in the area of what we would call the old city, meaning any part of Yerushalayim that's circumscribed by the wall, even if there is no wall. So shakadusha rishon kishalos ha'ezav kishalos ha'lavo, because the Rambam writes that it's a permanent kedusha. So therefore, the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Sorry, I spoke incorrectly. The kedusha of Yerushalayim is still there. V'lama ani omer ben mikdash Yerushalayim kedusha rishon kishalos ha'lavo. And the Rambam says, and now, this is the third halacha, and now the Rambam says, and why? Why is it a permanent Kedusha? The Rambam writes, Uve Kedusha Shar Eretz Yisrael, Inyan Shvius. I'm sorry, before giving the answer, the Rambam says, and right, I'm going to ask a strong question. U Kedusha Shar Eretz Yisrael, Inyan Shvius, Maestros Kayotzebehem, Lo Kitchas Las Elavo. You know, the Rambam says, you know what I hold? He telegraphs his punch. I hold that the rest of Eretz Yisrael, it does not have the same kedusha as we once upon a time had, meaning that when it comes to Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, the kedusha there, as it was going all the way back to the time of Shlomo HaMalach. Okay, so we are nearly 3,000 years ago. Going back 3,000 years ago, he says basically same kedusha, but the rest of Eretz Yisrael downgraded to a derabbanan. Shumas the Maestros nowadays is a derabbanan. Why? What's the difference? So the Rambam writes. Lefisha kedusha samikdash Yerushalayim ibnei Ashchina. The kedusha of the Beit Hamikdash and Yerushalayim is all contingent on the Shechina. V'Shechina ena b'teila, and the Shechina is still there. V'areu omer v'ashimosis mikdashchem v'amru chachamim afa pisha shemumim b'kedusha son hein omim. Even after destruction, they still are in a state of kedusha. Aval chiyuv ha'aretz b'shvius of a maestros, but shmita and shumas the maestros. For Eretz Yisrael, Einam Ela Mimneshu Kavush. That has nothing to do with Shechina, meaning it's Kedusha, but it's Kedusha's contingent on the conquered lands. I'm sorry, Kivush Rabin. The Kevush and Nilkacha Ha'aretz Miadeim. Once the land is taken away from us, Bato HaKivush, V'niftara Min HaTorah, Mimasros U'mishviya Shari Einam Min Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Rambam writes, they are not part of Eretz Yisrael, vis-a-vis Chumas and Maestros. So, Kedusha, it's all straight out of the Rambam. Kedusha Yerushalayim, contingent on Shechina never went. Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, contingent on Kibush, and once the land is taken out of our hands, so therefore the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is gone on a Torah level. The Kevush Allah Ezra, the Kidsha, Kidsha, Ela bechazaka sheechziku ba leficha kol makum sheechziku ba ole bava minizkash b'kedushas Ezra hashnia hu mikudash hayom v'afa pishanilkach arz mimenu v'chay b'shvius v'masros ala derech shebiyarnu ba'alachos truma. And then he goes on to write, and when Ezra comes back in, so how does he gain Eretz Yisrael? Ezra didn't conquer Eretz Yisrael, but rather through a kinyan called chazaka. He just simply, it was a settling of the land. And so wherever Ezra went in to settle, we're not talking about Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. That's dependent on Shechina, that stays put, that's permanent. But in terms of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, wherever Ezra goes in and identifies as a part of Eretz Yisrael, so that part of Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Meaning Trumas Amitzos, meaning the mitzvah.
No, you said you're supposed to do that anyway, but
on a Darabana level, not on a Daraisa level.
So it
drops everything down from a Daraisa to a Darabanan, and then all the regular practical application of Darabanan versus Daraisa, Safek, and okay. All right, good. That's the so we ended the Gemara's discussion of Kedusha, whether the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is permanent or temporary. Perhaps it's a Machlokes Tanayim. We saw the Rambam's position. The Rambam is very clear that when it comes to Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, it's a permanent Kedusha. The Rambam actually goes so far as to say that you can even offer a carbon even without an actual Beit HaMikdash. You don't need the edifice anymore because it still has the Kedusha that was invested going all the way back to the time of Shlomo HaMelech. I saw one of the daf notes that has a discussion about bringing carbonos nowadays. And it's fraught with difficulties, meaning we have many, many issues that we have in terms of bringing the carbon nowadays. But one of the issues is not we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, meaning that's not an issue. That the Rambam writes very clearly, again, assuming you hold like the Rambam. Mind you, by the way, what I did not do, and I'm not going to do now, is that the Ravid over there disagrees with the Rambam. See inside over there for more discussion on this very interesting topic. Okay. Yeah, correct.
Did you ever do it?
There is a... I'll tell you what. Come to me after Daf today, ask me the question again, and I'll give you more information about that question. Vayhi b'macha shvei rosh. Okay, and here we begin. We're on Yud Amud Beis, and now we are leaving the world of Mishnah and Gemara. Now, I know we're going to be reading Gemara. I understand that. But basically now, what the identity of the Gemara for today and the next week is going to be that of Agadata. It is going to be interesting. I mean, super interesting. As from here until the rest of the remainder of the first parak, we are going to be treated to basically it's Medrash. A Medrash on the Megillah. Okay, why... in other words, if usually you want to open and read Medrash, what do? You open and read Medrash. Right? By Megillah, there's Medrash Rabbah. Tanchuma? Well, I should know this. I'm sorry. But there's certainly Medrash Rabbah. So if you want to read Medrashim on the Megillah, so we have Medrashim. Why did the Gemara here spend basically a 7 blot of Gemara, or a little bit less than that, 6 blot of Gemara, treating us to Medrashim on the Megillah? I don't know why the Gemara has spent so much real estate towards this goal, but I have no complaints. It's going to be great, and this will be our endeavor for the next week of Daf Yomi. So we are going to begin. We're not even starting with the first pasuk. We're going to get to the first pasuk later this morning. You'll forgive me. I'm going to go a little bit fast right now as we need to catch up. And we, as you can see, we have a lot of Gemara coming up ahead. But basically, the next Amud of Gemara, from here until the middle of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, it's going to be introduction. A lot of introduction. Meaning every time an Amar gets up there and starts expounding the Megillah, so he opens up with an introduction, a preamble, if you will. So what we're going to be treated to is the various introductions to the lectures of all the Amoraim. We're not going to do tonight. These are all Amoraim. Okay, so, Vayhi b'me'achashash Amar Rabbi Levi v'temer Rabbi Yonasan. So now, we have a tradition going back to Anshe Knesset Gedolah. You see an opening of the word Vayihi, that's bad news, that's pain. And so now, in order to develop this thesis, we're going to go over a number of citations. So first of all, the opening pasuk in Megillah. So Vayihi b'me'achashverosh, there's Haman. Vayihi b'me'shvod ha'shoftim, the opening of Ruth. There was famine. In the end of Parshas Bereishis, right, people started to progenate, and people started misbehaving. The introduction, the preamble to Migdal Bavel. It starts with the words Vayihi. Vayihi b'Amraphel, basically the first world war, if you will. The war of the four kings against the five kings. Vayihi b'Yehoshua b'Yericho, v'charvash l'fa b'yado. Yehoshua was in Yericho, and his sword was put up against him. You remember the Gemara that we did earlier in the Masechta? V'yeshem es Yehoshua, v'yimalu b'nei Yisrael. Yehoshua, and somebody took from the spoils of war. V'hi ish echad men aramasayim, ki eschana ahav Hashem sagar rachma. And the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, and Chana is barren, Chana can have a child. V'yihi zakin Shmuel, v'lo halchu banav b'drachav. Shmuel's sons did not follow his path. V'yihi davi l'chol d'rachav maskil, v'ashem imo, v'yish Shaul oyein es David. Shaul starts to get jealous of David. V'yihi ki yashav melech beveiso, rakata lo sibna bayis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David, you're not going to be building the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so we have now strung together many psukim that open up with the word Vayihi, and it foretells something which will be painful and tragic.
Okay,
well, wait, okay, yeah, that's a good question. The Gemara is going to ask you a question. Okay, in other words, correct. In its temporary state, it's bad. You're right. Ultimately, it's going to be for good, but in its Abashir Husham, it's bad. So the Gemara says, okay, what about the following? The beginning of Parsha Shmini. So Vitanya also ayam aitsa simcha lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kem shenivra bo shamayim v'aretz. Sorry, ki yom shenivra bo shamayim v'aretz. The dedication of the Mishkan, this is opening day of the Mishkan. It was like the day that God created the world. So k'siv hach v'hi b'yam ha-shmini, k'siv hasam v'hi yom echad, v'yer v'yivok yom echad. So hashchiv nadav aviyo. So the Gemara says, no, there was tragedy on opening day. Nadav and aviyo died on opening day of the Mishkan. V'aksiv v'hi b'shmonim shana v'arba meir shana. The Gemara says, okay, but what about the first day that the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash was built, 480 years after we left Egypt. And it says there, Vayihi, and Vaksi Vayihi Kashara, Yaakov is Rachel, and Yaakov sees Rachel, that's not bad, and Vaksi Vayihi Vayivoker, I'm sorry, Yamachad, Vayika Sheni, Vayika Shlishi, Vayika Tuva, and every one of the days of creation, it opens up with the words Vayihi. And that's not bad, that's creation. So Am Ravashi Kovaihi Ikahachi Vikahachi. So Ravashi is just simply going to modify the original thesis statement. And that is that the word Vayihi in of itself could go either way. Vayihi Bimei Eino Ela Lashon Tzar. It's when you string the two words together, Vayihi Bimei, and you plug that into your search engine, that's when all that's going to come out of that is going to be bad news. Chamisha Vayihi Bimei Havu. And the Gemara over here does the search engine for us. There are five Vayihi Bimeis. Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh, that's one. Vayihi Bimei Shvod HaShoftim, that's Rus. Vayihi Bimei Amraphel, that's the World War in Parshas Lech Lecha. Vayihi Bimei Achaz. Achaz was the father of Chizkiyahu, king of Yehuda. Not a good one. And Vayihi Bimei Yehoyakim, that was the exile of Yehoyakim out of Yerushalayim. Okay, and really the beginning of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Alright. Another tradition that we have is that Amotz and Amatzia are brothers. So, who's Amotz, who's Amatzia? So, we're going to see one of them actually very shortly in the Haftorah. So, Amotz was the father of Yeshayahu. Amatzia was one of the kings of Yehuda. And Amotz and Amatzia are brothers. And so that means then that Yishael was a nephew of the king. Okay, and again, all this information is important because, aside from the fact that it's part of the Torah, so Amot v'amatzi achim avu ma'ikam ha'shmolan ki hadam ha'shmol banachmini am rav yonos and kol kala shehitznu v'beis chameh azoch v'yosim imenu malachim u'nevim. Any bride who is modest in the house of her father-in-law, basically modest in her in-law's house, is going to have, as a result of her modesty, kings and prophets coming out of her. Minalami Tamar. The Gemara views Tamar as being a prototype of this kind of modesty. The pasuk says when Yehuda goes up and basically solicits a what he thinks to be a zona, turns out that it was his daughter-in-law. He didn't know it was his daughter-in-law, and the pasuk says because she covered her face. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Mishum de kisa paneha ve'echshavel zona. Well, what? That doesn't make sense. She covers her face, and that's usually not how prostitutes sell themselves, by covering themselves up. El mishum de kitzta pana beveis chamev alo hayayada ala zach v'yasamemen and malachim neviim. So the Gemara says that no, she covered her face while she was a daughter-in-law. Meaning Yehuda didn't recognize her because while she was a daughter-in-law, she maintained the level of modesty in which Yehuda didn't even recognize her by face. That's how modest she was. And so therefore, as a result of her modesty, comes out from her are kings and prophets. Malachim midavid. Nevi'im da'amar rabbi levim asoros bi'adinim avasinu amos v'amasi achim ayum. So in terms of kings, so we know David is a descendant of Tamar. In terms of Nevi'im, so it's based on the fact that Amos and Amati are brothers. Now, again, Amos is the father of Yishayahu. Amati was a king. So, but you see that what comes out of Tamar, eventually, down the line, are kings and prophets. And the Gemara attributes it all to the modesty of Tamar. Uksib chazan Yishayahu ben Amos. Okay. V'amar Rabbi Levi David Zemesoros v'yadim me'avazen Malcolm Aaron enam en Amida. Another tradition that we have, and that is that the Aaron takes up no space within the Kodesh HaKodashim. Tayinami Hach, the Gemara has a brisa as well, taking the same position. Aaron Shasa Moshe Yeshlo Eser Amos L'chol Ruach. There are 10 Amos in every direction from the Aaron. So that means that if you're standing from any point in the Aaron in the Kodesh HaKodashim, you go 10 Amos from the Aaron to the wall. Now that is physically impossible. Linearly impossible. Uksiv lifnei advir esr ma'ama orich, uksiv kenafa kruv echad esr amos, ukenafa kruv echad esr amos. So, the total distance of space within the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 20 amos by 20 amos. So, question, with no answer, no logical answer. How could it be that you're 10 amos from the Aron to any point of the wall? Meaning, put the Aron in the center of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you're 10 amos from any point in the Aron to the wall, so that means where is it? Don't you have to make up space for the Aron? Answer, the Aron did not take up space. So Aron gufa hecha havakai, elalash mamina b'neis hayo'omed. So the Gemara says, miracle, that the Aron did not take up any space within the Kodesh HaKadoshim, even though obviously the Aron had space, it had linear measurements. The Torah tells us that the Aron had linear measurements, but when placed inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it didn't take up any of that linear measurement. Okay, how does that work? Nice. That's a miracle. Rav Yonos on Pasuk Lei Pizkalai Parshas Mihacha. Okay, so now we basically saw a brief introduction to the Megillah from Rabbi Levi or Rabbi Yonasan. The Gemara now quotes the introduction of Rabbi Yonasan. V'kamti aleichem v'karti l'bavol sham. Sorry, v'karti l'bavol. I will destroy Bavol. Shame u'she'er v'nin v'neched. I will destroy Bavol totally. Its name, its she'er, its nin, its neched. Let's identify what they are. Shame zaksab. I will destroy the nation of Bavel, meaning there will no longer be a language of Bavel. Now that is difficult to understand, and Tosus over here points out that that's difficult to understand. Because what's the language of Bavel? Aramaic. What language do we speak to even to this very day? Well, we don't speak the language, but we're still learning the Gemara in Aramaic. So it's a little bit difficult to understand. Tosus points this out over here, that the Gemara says, I'm going to destroy the Babylonian language. It's not totally destroyed. Okay, so Tosus has an answer. You can see Tosus inside. Okay, but it's difficult. So Shem Zeksab. She'er Zeh Lashon. The language of the Babylonians also will be destroyed. Nin Zeh Malchus. And Nin, that's the kingdom of Babylonia, will be destroyed. And Neched Zu Vashti. And the granddaughter is Vashti. The granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar is Vashti. You're going to see a lot of that over the course of next week. How Vashti was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. And that also will be destroyed. And that's what we see in the beginning of the Megillah. In other words, when Vashti is killed, the way we're supposed to view that from a more global perspective is that not just the wife of Achashverosh is killed, but really that's the end of Bavel. When Vashti is killed, really Bavel comes to a final end. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani pasuk Fiskalai Parshas Beacha. Rabbi Shmuel's introduction to the Megillah. Tachas anatzus ya'aleh v'rosh v'tachas asirpa ya'aleh hadas. So a pasuk that we see, this is Haftorah for a fast day. So tachas anatzus, tachas haman rasha, the natzus is a reference to Haman. Why is he referred to as a natzut? She'asa atzma avodah zara. Because natzus is cognate with avodah zara. Di'chsiva b'chol ha-natzutim b'chol ha-nehalulim an-alulim. So what replaces Haman, who's the Avodah Zara? Yalev Varosh. Zeh Mordechai. So Mordechai is the Varosh. What connection is there between Mordechai and the Varosh? Shenikra Rosh, the Chol HaBesamim. He's the head of spices. What does that mean? Shenemar Batakach Racha Besamim Rosh, Mar Deror. Because look at when the Torah introduces us to the Besamim, to the spices, so the first spice is Mar Deror. Now, look at Targum on that pasuk. The Gemara quotes it. Umitagaminan Maridache. That the word Mardor translates in Aramaic as Maridache. Take the words Maridache and put it together. Those two words, what do you get? That's Mordechai. So Mordechai is the Rosh. He's the head of all Bisamim. Tachas ha-Sirpad. And then in the place of Sirpad, Sirpad is a reference to Tachas Vashti. Harish'ah. Bas Benosh of Nebuchadnezzar. She's the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, Russia. Shesaraf Refidas Beis Hashem. Destroyer of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Sirpad. Sirpad is the word Refidas Beis Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash. Dichsib, Refidaso Zahav, Refidaso Zahav. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, describing by way of analogy that the Beis HaMikdash is the Refida. It's the beautiful gold. Yale Hadas. And what takes the place of Vashi? That's Hadas, that's Esther. Zu Esther Atzadekish, Nikras Hadasa. Shenemra V'yeh Menas Hadasa. That's actually her name. The Hayal Hashem L'Shem Zemikra Megillah. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu will be called out in a name, that's the Megillah. La'os olam lo yikareis elu yimei Purim. And it will be a permanent oath, a permanent sign. That's the days of Purim. Okay, that is all the drasha of Rabbi Shmuel. Next drasha. Next introduction. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi Pasach v'iskalahai parashah sameach v'yakah sher sas Hashem alechem lativ eschem ken yasif la'arazchem. This is part of the Tochacha of the Torah, second Tochacha, the one mentioned in Parashas Kisavo. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, look, just as I'm happy to do good for you, but I will also be happy, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, laharazchem. Umicha de Kadosh Baruch Hu b'mapalasim shal rishayim. Really, Kadosh Baruch Hu is happy? That's not true. V'atzi b'tzeh tzofanei chalos v'amrim hodu la'ashem ki lo'am chasdo. It says in Divrei Hayamim that when who was destroyed over here? The Ammonim and the Gevonim. Okay, right, Rashi. The Ammonim and the Gevonim were destroyed. So it says, Hodel Hashem, Kilulam Chasto. Now, everyone recognize what's missing over here in this pasuk. V'amar Rav Yochanan Imneim Alon Nemar Kitov V'Hodazu. How come it doesn't say Hodel Hashem Kitov? Doesn't matter who's destroyed. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is not happy when his creatures have to be destroyed. As we cross through Yamsuf, as the Egyptians are being swallowed by the sea, so the Malachi Asharis want to sing Shira. What do you mean? My creatures are being destroyed, and now is a good time to sing Shira? So Amar Rabbi Lazar. Sorry, this is already the answer. So, how can we ever suggest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy to bring destruction on even Rishayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy. The Gemara cited two pieces of evidence. By the way, another point to consider and another point to that needs attention and some sort of direction. Meaning, it's funny, the Malachi Asharis were told, look, the Egyptians are dying, you can't sing. Meanwhile, what do we do? Right, we sing. Okay, so understood. Okay, so right. So okay, good. It needs an answer. It needs a direction. Right. Correct. Okay. Good. Okay. Very good. So Amar Rabbi Lazar Hu Eino Sasava Cherem Meisis. So the Gemara says, okay, Kadosh Baruch himself is not happy, but he will allow others to rejoice. V'Dekadam Dichsiv King Yasis V'Lok Siv Yasus Shema Mina. So the Gemara says, Enachinami. Akash Baruch Hu himself will not be happy, but will he allow others to be happy in the downfall of the Jewish people if they behave like Rishayim? So that the Gemara says, yeah, that'll do. Rabbi Abba Barakana Pasakle Piskalai Parsha Samehacha. Another introduction to Sefer Megillah by another Amora. But this is by Rabbi Abba Barakahana. La'adam Shetov Lefanav Nasan Chachma V'Das V'Simcha. A person who is good, Akash Baruch Hu gives him wisdom. That's Mordechai Tzadik. Ulechote Nasan. Inyan less of lichnos, and as far as the chote, the sinner, Kadosh Baruch Hu basically allows him to gather up, meaning basically expire. Zeman lases tov lifnei Elokim zem Mordechai ve'Esther dichsiv v'tasem Esther as Mordechai al beis Haman. And not only that, but we actually take over the house of Haman. Rava bar Ufrim pasal bischa lahi parsha samehacha. The Gemara quotes another Amara in his introduction. Vistamtikisi be'elam. I will place my throne in Elam. Elam is one of the main cities of Bavel. Ve'avadati misham melech v'sarim. And I will destroy the king and princes. Melech zevashti. Melech is a reference to Vashti. Now again, it's interesting. Vashti is not a king. Vashti is a queen. Why would we describe her as being a melech? But again, one of those big themes that come up today again and again in today's daf is this idea that Vashti is really Bavel. She's really the end of the lineage of Bavel. That's why she's referred to as a melech. Sarim zu Haman. And Sarim is a reference to Haman. V'asar's banav. Rabdime b'ayis v'basar la piskalai parsha samihacha. We are now up to today's daf Yudal, if we turn the page. Ki avadim anachtu v'avadisenu lo azavnu olokim v'yet alanu chesil lefne malche paras. We were given favor in the years of Persia. Amosai b'zman Haman, that's during the years of Haman, or the other gears in the Gemara is in the years of Mordechai. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa pasal k'piskalai parsha samihacha. Here kafte and shos l'rashenu banu be'esh v'mayim. We went through both fire and water. Pasuk in Tehillim. What is that? What is that talking about? Be'esh b'mei Nebuchadnezzar rasha. So we went through fire during Nebuchadnezzar, right? The three young advisors were passed through the fire of Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, he took. I'm sorry, my brain just froze. Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. Thank you. Okay. He put them through the Kifshan Ha'esh, through the furnace. Okay. And water was during Bimei Paro. And he brought us to prosperity. Bimei Haman. That's during the years of Haman. Rabbi Yochanan pasach lai pischalai parsha semeacha zecher chasavem naso leveis Yisrael v'ra'u kol afse arts is Yeshuas Elokeinu. The entire world will see our salvation. Amos v'ra'u kol afse arts is Yeshuas Elokeinu bimei Mordechai v'Esther. And Rashi points out that's because letters were sent out to the entire world signaling that the Jewish people couldn't defend themselves. So Purim was a historical period in which the entire world saw our salvation. Reish Lakish Pasach Pitzchalai Parsha Semeacha. Ari Nohem V'Dov Shokek Moshe Rasha Al Am Dal. This is Psukim from Mishlei. The lion roars, the bear growls, and the evil rule over the entire world. And the Gemara now over the poor nation. And so now the Gemara is going to explain each part of this pasuk. Ari Nohem Zenevuchanetzar. Harasha, dichsiv bay, Allah Aryeh misavcho. Right, the Nebuchadnezzar is referred to as the Aryeh, as a lion. And Dov Shokeg ze achashresh dichsiv bay va'aru cheva achari tanina, damya ledov. The second animal. This is a vision that was that Daniel had in Sefer Daniel, where basically there were four animals. Each one of the animals correspond to the four kingdoms: Bavel, Paras, Yavan, Edom. The four kingdoms. And in these four kingdoms, the second one resembled that of a bear. And that's in reference to Paras. Persia is the bear. Utini Rav Yosef Ela Parsiim. Sha'ochlim v'shosim gadov. They eat and drink like bears. Umistorval and basar gadov. They are, I guess, obese like bears. Umigalan seir gadov. And they're hairy like bears. Ve'in lamenucha gadov. And they have difficulty sleeping just like bears do. Moshel Rasha Zu Haman. And the evil Moshel mentioned in the pasuk is a reference to Haman. Al Amdal, the poor nation, Elo Yisrael, Shem Dalim and Amitzvos. Because they are poor from mitzvos, meaning that they did not do mitzvos, and that's why they were vulnerable at the time. That's another theme that will come up over the course of the next week. Right. And just to give these introductory comments to the Megillah are just to give like more of a larger picture of the Megillah in the context of our entire history. Rav Elazar Pasach, just a couple more to go. Rav Elazar Pasach l'piskalai parsha sebeacha ba'atzasayim yimacha mekareh. As we are lazy ba'atzasayim yimacha mekareh, the roofer becomes poor. Okay, so uvishiflos yadayim yidlof habayis, and there's a leak in the house. Bishvil atzal shayelam liyisrael shalaska b'torah. The lazy people is a reference to us, the Jewish people, because we were not learning Torah. Nas the stone shall Kadosh Baruch Hu mach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding, becomes poor. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer has the ability to help us because We are deficient in Torah. V'ein macha la'ani shenema v'imachu be'erkecha. V'ein amekar el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The roofer in this context is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema amekarim ba'mayim ali yosav. Okay. Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak Pasach, Rav Pitzchak, Rav Parshas, Rav Mehalcha. Another introduction. Shiram also le'ashem shayelanu yomana Yisrael lu le'ashem shayelanu b'kom aleinu Adam, Adam v'lo melech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood in our defense against a man and not a king. Rashi says this is a reference to Haman. Rav Pasach Pitzchak Parashas Meacha Birvot Tzadikim Yismach Am Uvimshol Rasha Yanach Am. When the Tzadikim are abundant, so the nation is happy. When the Rishayim are ruling, the nation is not happy. Birvot Tzadikim Yismach Am Zemordechai VeEsther Dichtiv VaYir Shushan Sahala VeSamecha. So that's the city of Shushan being happy because of the ruling of Mordechai and Esther. Meanwhile, when Haman was quote unquote at rule, so the city of Shushan was all confused. Rav Masa Amar Mehacha, ki mi goy gadol asher lo lokim krovim elav. We are a nation that we have God within the earshot of us. We call it to Kadosh Baruch Hu and He helps us. That's his introduction to the Megillah. Rav Ashi Amar Mehacha, o anisa lokim. Have you seen a nation where God takes them out of Egypt? And again, as a general introduction to the Megillah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu also saves us during the Megillah as well. Okay, now, what's going to happen in the Gemara over here is, as the Gra points out, we're going to make a couple of editing changes in the Gemara. We're not doing anything. The Gra, we're just following the Gra. The Gra says that this is really, we're going to skip this right now, and we're going to come back to this later on. You'll see what I mean. So skip a line of Gemara to the words Ushmul Amar. Shmuel Amar, Lo Ma'astim V'lo Ga'altim L'chalosam. Lo Ma'astim B'Yimei Yevanim. We were not rejected during the days of the Yevanim. V'lo Ga'altim B'Yimei Nebuchadnezzar. And we were not rejected during the days of Nebuchadnezzar. L'chalosam. And we were never destroyed. B'Yimei Haman. La'afir B'Yiso Itam. B'Yimei Parsiim. And our covenant with the Kadosh Baruch Hu still stood, even during the Persians. Kien Hashem Elokechem B'Yimei Gog U'Magog. And I am Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that will take us all the way to the period of Gog and Magog. We have a brisa that also darshans the same pasuk, but slightly different identifications. We were not rejected during the Kazdim. Kazdim is another term for Nebuchadnezzar. She'amalti lehem Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah. We had four Nevi'im who carried us through the period of Nebuchadnezzar. V'lo galtim b'yimei Yevanim she'amati lehem Shimon HaTzadik v'Chashmonai v'Nav u'Matisyahu Kohen Gadol. And Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us during the period of the Yevanim Shimon HaTzadik and the Chashmonai. Now Shimon HaTzadik is the beginning of the Greek period, meaning Shimon HaTzadik, remember the Gemara in Yuma, he was living at the same time as Alexander the Great. Okay, the relationship between the Jews and the Alexander the Great was great, and then it soured, and that takes us to the period of the Chashmonai couple hundred years later. Uvanam v'matisyal kohen gadol lechalasam b'yimei Haman she'amati lehem Mordechai v'Esther. And who defended us? Who were our Nevi'im during the times of Achashverosh and Haman? So that is Mordechai and Esther. La'afir b'siyitam b'yimei Parsim she'amati lehem shal beis Rebbe v'chachmei Doros. And what about during the Persians? So for them, I gave Rebbe and the Chachmei Doros. Ki ani Hashem Elokechem asi lavo she'en kol umah v'lashon yechol l'shlo pahem. And we will never be destroyed, ever. Rebbe Levi Amar Mehacha v'im lo starisho es yoshvei ha'aretz. V'im lo starisho es yoshvei ha'aretz. Right? A lot of the problems come as a result of the fact that we don't chase the enemies out of the land. Rebbe Chia Amar Mehacha v'yeh kasher dim. And I'm sorry, and Rashi points out that's a reference to what? That goes back to Shaul and Amalek, meaning Shaul spared part of Amalek, the king of Amalek, Agag, and really that brings about the entire problem of Purim. And huh? Right, correct. Rabbi Chia Amar Meach Vayek Kasher Dimisu Lasos Lahem Eseh Lachem. Whatever I was planning on do to them, I'm going to do to you. Meaning, if you have compassion on them and don't spare them, so you will be destroyed.
Yeah, okay.
I understand. I try to stay focused, but yes. Yes, I'm not going to lie, I thought the same thing. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to now go back to that line of Gemara that we skipped earlier. The Gra says this is now where it belongs. Because now essentially what happened is, in the Gemara we have gone through all the introductions of all the Amoraim, and when they start off with Megillas Esther, this is how they introduce, giving a broader view of the historical context of Megillas Esther. And now what we're going to do is we're going to actually start darshaning the Pesukim in Megillas Esther. Okay, you want to be familiar with the Pesukim in Megillas Esther. It's helpful, more than helpful. I'd say it's a prerequisite in order to really appreciate the drushes of the Gemara over here. So we're going to go back now to the Vayihi b'Yimei Achashverosh. So I know it's a little bit confusing. It's not that bad. We're basically backing up 10 lines now, and we're reading the first drasha. Vayihi b'Yimei Achashverosh. And what are we doing? We're darshing the first word of the Megillah. Amarav Vayihi. Woe and woe. Meaning the word Vayihi is very similar to what we said earlier today, that the word Vayihi means woe. Basically, it's a lament. Vayihi. You will be sold as slaves and as servants. Okay, now drop down to where we are now in the Gemara, Achashverosh. So now we're darshening Achashverosh. We're darshening his name. Amrav Achiv Shorosh Ben Gilo Shorosh. He was a brother to the hen. He was a Ben Gilo. Ben Gilo. What an interesting concept. It's really hard to explain. But Ben Gilo basically means like a soul brother, right? It could be understood literally as somebody who's born on the very same day as you, right? How exciting was it when I learned that my AC guy, not making this up, is my Ben Gilo, right? I don't know how this came up in conversation. I can be accused sometimes of being too friendly, although I don't mind with that accusation. How exciting was it that I learned that my AC guy is my Ben Gilo, born on the same year, same day, same date, right? We are Ben Gilo. No. No. Okay, but whatever. Huh? Yeah, no, he's Jewish. He's Jewish. My Ben Gilo. So the Amarav Achav Shavrosh Ben Gilo. I'm sorry. Shavrosh Ben Gilo Shavrosh. Achashverosh was basically the word Ach. He's the brother of the head, and he's the Ben Gilo of the head. Achashverosh, Achashverosh Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, Shenikra Rosh. He was a brother to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I don't think the Gemara means that he's a biological brother, but basically, like brotherhood, if you will. Right, same basic philosophy. Shenema Antu Resha Didahava. Right, I'm sorry, Nebuchadnezzar is referred to as the head. Again, back to Daniel, back to the imagery of the big statue and the head made up of gold. That's Nebuchadnezzar. Ben Gilo Sharosh Hu Arag Hu Bikesh Laharog. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed. Achashverosh wanted to do the same. Hu Hachriv Hu Bikesh Laharog. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beit Hamikdash. That's basically what Achashverosh wanted to do. Shenemar V'Machus Achashverosh B'Tchilas Machuso Kasvu Sitna Al Yoshe Yehuda V'Yushalayim. A sitna was written on Yoshe Yehuda of Yerushalayim. Again, just the brief history. All history that I'm providing over here is based on the Gemara and the Gemara's understanding of history. Okay, it doesn't go absolutely in line with the secular understanding of Persian history. That's fine by me. I'm providing it just from the perspective of the Gemara. Basically, what there was before Achashverosh was a king by the name of Koresh. Right, there only are, from the Gemara's perspective, there only are four Persian kings: Daryavish, the first Daryavish, who was a Madai, who was Mede, then Koresh. The two of them only ruled for 5 years. I'll go over this more in detail tomorrow. Then Achashverosh, and then Daryavish. That's it. That's our tradition.
Not our
tradition.
But I thought you said Esther's son was
Daryavish. Daryavish. Okay, that's our tradition. And in our tradition, we have that Koresh allowed the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Who stopped the building of the second Beis HaMikdash? Achashverosh. So she's sitting on Yoshe Yehuda Vishalayim. Ushmol Amar Shehushchu Peneim Shal Yisrael. We're going to finish with this. Shehushchu Peneim Shal Yisrael Biyamav Kishule Kedera. our faces blackened during his days like the bottom of the pot. That's the Achashverosh from the word Shachor. Rav Yochanan Amar Kosher Zochro Amar Ach Lerosho. Anyone who remembers them, basically his response is Ach. Ach is that word where it's beyond translation. Everyone speaks the word Ach. That is the response when people think of Achashverosh. Rabbi Chanina Amar Shakol Nasu Rashim B'Yamav. One last drasha for the name Achashverosh. We all became poor during the days of Achashverosh. And Amar V'yasam Amelch Achashverosh Mas. Achashverosh taxed the people. That's one of the last psukim in the Megillah Esther. Is it not the last? So anyway, that is a darshaning of the word Achashverosh. Okay, well tomorrow we'll pick it up with the word Hu Achashverosh. Okay, and so far we have not even, we basically got to the first three words of the Megillah. Okay. Obviously much more coming up.